Today we're going to talk about how to get free and stay free. There may be people in this room that are struggling with things, and you know, sometimes we do a really good job of coming to church and putting on a good face, putting on a good show, and I don't think that that's hypocritical or anything, but you know, sometimes we don't just feel like we just need to wear the things of the world that might be wearing on us. And so there's many times that people are endeavoring to follow the Lord, they're doing well, but then there just may be areas that you're struggling in. And I was praying about this week, and I was asking the Lord, I'm like, Lord, how do people not just get free? You know, you talk a lot about that there's freedom in Christ. Some people have deliverance ministries, different things like that. But then many times it's like, but if I got free, but how do I continue to stay free? And I asked the Lord that this week, and this is what he gave me. And I really believe, as we dive into the scriptures today, what we're going to see is that the reason that people have a hard time not just getting free, but more importantly, staying free, is because we are unknowingly putting ourselves under the law. And some of you that have come here regularly are like, oh, it's going to be another grace versus law. It's going to be some of those scriptures, but I remember when I first came back to the Lord, it was the teaching of the grace of God that brought me back. We live in a society of laws, and we should, because laws are meant to keep people that are not followers of Jesus, that are not being led by the Spirit, to keep us in line and intact. And society needs laws because not everybody are Jesus people. Amen? So, but we need to understand that when it comes to Christ, that we are not under the law. I've talked about this before. I would, based on my experience being other places and based on maybe with some of you who have maybe talked to other people who attend other churches, I don't believe that the preaching of that the law has passed away, that the law has been fulfilled, I don't know that that preaching is that strong. And I believe it's because we still believe deep down, now that I'm a believer, I must do X, Y, and Z, that we're unknowingly putting the law back on us. I've made the statement in here before, and I'm going to say it again, is that whether you know it or not, and if this is your first time hearing it, please don't walk out when I make this statement. I will qualify it with many scriptures, as we are not under the Ten Commandments. All right, wait, we got a couple. We are not under the Ten Commandments. Somebody said this once, I've stolen it, and now I'm using it. People say, you know, schools would be better if we put the Ten Commandments back in school, and I don't believe that. I believe what we need in the schools is for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. Giving the law to people, if you know your Bible history, that was a roughly 4,000-year experiment, well, maybe 3,000-year experiment, and it failed miserably. How many of you know that the Jewish people were under the law? Let's make no confusion about the law. There were the Big Ten that were written on stone, and then there were also the added Levitical laws. But when we speak about law, it's all of the laws. That includes the Ten Commandments. Jesus said, I did not come to destroy the law, but to fulfill it. If something has been fulfilled, we don't have to keep trying to fulfill it. Amen? So, again, we're talking about getting free. I believe that many people end up staying in bondage because we become a Christian, become a believer in Jesus. We come to Jesus by grace, but then instead of living in that grace, we start to put conditions on everything. Now, I want to put a caveat to that, to going, there is an expectation on how to live in Christ, but it's not because of rules. It's because of knowing who you are. And I had somebody say to me one time, they're like, well, how can you tell people how to live if you don't have the Ten Commandments? And I would say, you just read the Gospels, and whatever Jesus did or didn't do, do that and don't do that. Because our identity is in Christ. And if you don't know that your identity is in Christ and you thought you became a Christian so that you could try to make all of the right decisions, that you're going to live under the law, then I'm sorry if that wasn't explained to you correctly. You die to self when you come to Christ and you are alive in Christ. So again, if you're like, well, then who am I? What is my identity? Read about Jesus in the Gospels. That's who you are. So we're going to get into the first scriptures today. So if you have your Bibles, it'll be up on the screen. The notes are in the app and you can take notes. There's always a section. But we're going to be in Galatians 3, starting at verse 10. It's important to know that this is not optional for a believer. If you're like, well, you know, I want to be free in Christ, but I want to practice the Sabbath. Did you know that the Sabbath is one of the Ten Commandments? Now, again, I'm not saying if you want to just not do anything from 6 to 6 on Friday evening till Friday evening 6 o'clock till Saturday evening 6 o'clock, you're more than welcome to do that. But if you do that and say in your head that you are somehow more holy than somebody else, you've just put yourself under law. And the Bible has some very, I don't know, harsh things to say about people who put themselves under the law. Do you understand if you put yourself under the law intentionally, you're no longer under Christ? You can't mix the two. The Bible says that you cannot put new wine into old wineskins. So we need to decide if we're going to be completely free in Christ or we're going to do some kind of mixture. And I personally believe it's because of the mixture. And this is a stronghold issue in our mind. Because of mixture of law and grace is why there are still strongholds in people's lives. So let's take a look at this scripture. Those who are of the works of the law are under a curse. If you have put yourself under the Ten Commandments, if you're like, yeah, I'm in Jesus, but I have to do X, Y, and Z, this says that you are under a curse. Anybody want to be under a curse? No, we want to be under the blessing. Look at this. Because it is written, cursed is everyone who does not abide and perform all things. Everybody say all things. All things written in the book of the law. So there's even denominations today, and I'm not going to name them, but where it's this mixture of going, yes, we're not under the law, but we still want to keep the Sabbath. Yes, we're not under the law, but if we eat pork or shellfish, it's a really bad thing. Listen, if you want to not eat food or eat food and give glory to the Lord, fine, but it's not a law. This says, cursed is everyone who does not abide and perform all things. Do you realize if you want to keep one part of the law, you got to keep the whole thing? We don't just get to pick and choose what we want to keep. This says, and I put the quote from the Old Testament. It's Deuteronomy 27:26. You can look it up. It says, all things written in the book of the law. You either have to do all of them or none of them. The Bible also talks about if you offend, this is in the book of James, if you would offend in one area of the law, you've broken the entire thing. It is obvious that no one is justified by the law before God, for the righteous man shall live by faith. It is obvious that no one is justified. And again, this is why as believers, why would we keep the law if it has been proven time and time again? And this clearly is written to the church in Galatia by the Apostle Paul. And he says, it is obvious no one is justified by the law before God. So the idea that we would try to keep trying to fulfill the Ten Commandments is foolishness, because that will never justify us before God. We're not going to stand before God someday and say, well, you know what? I didn't kill anybody. Well, you know what? I didn't steal anything. Well, you know what? And really, Jesus, when he came, took it to a whole new level. Because he said, okay, maybe you haven't murdered anybody, but have you ever had hatred in your heart towards somebody? He says it's the same thing. And what is Jesus doing this for? Is he trying to be mean? No, he's bringing the intent of the law upon us. The intent of the law, and we're going to see that in Scripture, is to show us that we can't keep it. That was the purpose. The law was never given for us to keep, and we somehow have got that twisted. The law was not given so that we would keep it. The law was given, first of all, because sin was completely out of control, so we had to wrangle it in a little bit. But the overall long-term purpose of the law was to show us that no one is righteous before God. Let's go to the next verse. So this is continuing on in Galatians 3. Now again, we're going to see some strong statements here. However, the law is not of faith. So again, you can't have faith in Christ and be under the law because the Bible says that the law is not of faith. Faith has nothing to do with the law. He says, on the contrary, again, this is the Apostle Paul, he who practices them, talking about the law, shall live by them. And again, that's Leviticus 18:5. He's quoting the Old Testament scripture, which part of that is the law. It says, Christ freed us from the curse of the law. He freed us. So we're not under the law. Don't go back to something that Jesus set you free from. It says, he freed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. The Bible talks about that the law is a curse on us. Now, I don't have all these scriptures up here, but the Bible does say that the law is holy, the law is just, but again, it's only righteous and just for a righteous and just person. But when a law which is holy and righteous and just is placed on people who are not, then it becomes a curse to us. Christ freed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. So on the previous scripture, we saw cursed is everyone who does not complete the entire law. You can't pick and choose. You either have to do all of it or none of it. This says, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. And again, that's quoted in Deuteronomy 21, 22 through 23. That's why it says Jesus became a curse for us, because he was crucified on a cross, or you could say he was crucified on a tree. And it says, this is so the blessing of Abraham will come to the Gentiles. And just as a reminder, unless you are 100% Jewish, he's talking about us, the Gentiles. And I've said it before, I've said it many times, so I'm just going to say it one more time for the record. If you are a Gentile, you were never under the law to begin with. The law was for the Jews. The Gentiles, which was us, weren't even brought into the new covenant until Jesus fulfilled the law. We weren't brought in yet. In the fulfilling of the law is how we, the Gentiles, were brought in. And it says that the Gentiles came in by faith. And if we came in by faith, that means it has nothing to do with the law, because we just saw up here, it says, however, the law is not of faith. Some of you may be thinking like, well, why do we really have to nail this point? And again, because you may not say like, oh yeah, I read the Levitical laws all the time and I put them into practice. But I'm telling you, I really believe that if we check our minds and check our strongholds in our minds, that some of that is coming in is because Satan is using the law against you. You didn't do this. Remember when you did this? How can you call yourself a Christian if you did this? You ever hear those voices in your head? You're not crazy. Satan will use the law. So it says that Jesus did this. He became a curse for us so that the blessing of Abraham would come to the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, and we will receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. So you could say it like this: Jesus became accursed so that you could be blessed. You are always blessed. You are forever blessed. Now, your worldly circumstances might scream at you otherwise, but in the Spirit, because what Jesus did, you are blessed. And I hear all the time from people going, well, you know, people can put curses on people. And I'm like, well, maybe people not in Christ, but no high-end devil worshiper, witch, or anything else can put a curse on me because I am blessed in Jesus Christ. Let us not give power to the enemy that the scripture clearly says that he doesn't have. Now, people that are outside of Christ, yeah, they're fair game in open season. But I've heard other Christians say to me, well, you know, there's just some high up witches and warlocks that are, you know, doing things on Halloween and other high, you know, holy days for them. And they, you know, they could have put a curse on your family. I'm like, only if you believe that they can. But this clearly says that Jesus became a curse so that the blessing of Abraham would come to the Gentiles. So if Jesus became a curse, then we have become blessed. The cross is the great reversal. We were supposed to suffer for our sins, but he took on the sin of the world, and so he died in our place. And it says that we would receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. If you want to receive the Holy Spirit, because we preach water baptism here, which is, I kind of talked a little bit about that with baby dedication. But if you read the book of Acts, there are two baptisms. There is the forgiveness of sins in Jesus Christ, and then there is the receiving of the gift of the Spirit. And some people will say, well, you can do two at the same time when you do water baptism. And I say, well, yeah, but you have to consciously ask for the Holy Spirit and believe on it through faith. It just doesn't come in without being, he, the Holy Spirit, does not come in without being invited. He does not come in unless you ask him and invite him to come in and believe by faith, which is why we lay hands on people here to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I bring that up because that, again, I'm just trying to educate you. That's not taught at most churches anymore. It's water baptism for the forgiveness of sins. It's not about now you need to receive and be baptized in the Holy Spirit for divine empowerment on how to live supernaturally in this world. I have a teaching on the YouTube channel that if you go back for enough, it's like a three-part series in the book of Acts. And I highlight everywhere where it talks specifically about water baptism, and then it talks specifically about the baptism in the Holy Spirit. So it says that we can receive that promise of the Holy Spirit through faith. Next. Okay, so again, we're talking about we're not under the law. Well, then why was the law given? Paul asks and answers his own question. He says, why was the law given? Because of increased sin. But it was temporary until the seed, capital S, talking about Christ, the seed would come to whom the promise had been made. The scripture, and now that word scripture, because we move from the word law, it's a different Greek word, but the scripture simply is translated what has been written. So you know when the devil is tempting Jesus in the wilderness, and Jesus would say, it is written, it is written. He's referring to the scriptures. So it says the scripture, what has been written, has imprisoned. Everybody say imprisoned, because you would think the scripture sets you free. But this says the scripture has imprisoned everyone under sin. This is important because if you think or I think that, you know, like I'm a pretty decent person, let me inform you, you're not. You're not. All you have to do is read the law, read what is required of a believer, and you will start to hopefully not fall into depression. But it's important to know that you and I, without Christ, are nothing. We live in a whole society where we have to coddle everybody and talk about their worth and their value. And I know that seems positive, but we don't preach positive. We preach Jesus Christ. It's not about self-worth. Without Christ, you have none. And this is the problem that we're getting into, is that when anything happens in this world, I mean, look what's going on. We have to have, you know, crying rooms for Ivy League school people that couldn't handle the election. We had to have milk and cookies and all of this other kind of stuff. Like, people always have to be nurtured and edified. And I'm not talking about children. Obviously, we want to nurture and edify these little babies. We want to nurture and edify our children. But I'm talking about the moment that we think, you know what, I'm a pretty good Christian, is the moment where pride comes in. We start to compare ourselves among ourselves and to other things. Well, you know, that one person that goes to church, at least I'm not doing this thing that they do. You without Christ are nothing. I without Christ am nothing. Everybody in this room, if you are sitting here and you don't have Christ today and you're just found out from the pastor that you, that your life is not, has no value because the value of your life is what is attached to Jesus, I would encourage you to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior today. We will have prayer ministers in the back that can take your confession today. I'm not trying to trick you into this. I'm telling you what the Bible says. The Apostle Paul said, it is no longer I who live, but Christ in me. Paul was a Pharisee of Pharisees. I know that maybe some of you are like, what does that even mean? It would be like translated today that if you went to Bible college for 8 years and got like your doctorate of divinity and you could, you know, speak fluent Hebrew and Greek and all of this other kind of stuff. He studied under a man named Gamaliel, who was the top Pharisee of his day. Paul was a super educated guy. And when he writes in his letters, he said, I count all of that as loss, as nothing for the sake of Jesus Christ. So the scripture has imprisoned everyone under sin, and he says why? So that the promise by faith in Jesus Christ would be given to those who believe. You see, if you have the scriptures to tell you that your life is worthless and you are doomed to hell, then you will realize your need for a savior. Many of you have testimonies that you were at the bottom of the barrel. You were going to lose everything. Or maybe you did lose everything and you cried out to God because you realized that your only way to salvation was Jesus Christ. And that's the purpose of the scripture. That was the purpose of the law. It was to bring everyone under sin. Everyone to say, hey, this person thinks they're good. No, you're not. Even Jesus himself said, no one is good but God alone. So the scriptures aren't out to make you feel bad. The scriptures are to remove every excuse that you would say, I don't need Jesus for that. Next verse. Keep going. We're keeping going in Galatians. Before faith came. Again, so faith was not on the scene when the law was here. Before faith came, we were watched over and guarded by the law. He uses the same word, imprisoned again. We were imprisoned under until the way of faith was revealed. Again, it's important to understand that faith did not exist until after the finished work of the cross, because the finished work of the cross fulfilled the law. The law was our nanny leading us to Christ. Now, some of your scriptures may say tutor. The word in the Greek is talking about somebody who trains up the child. Specifically in Greek culture, it was if they had a mom and dad that, you know, kind of did their own things, went to parties, or maybe they were involved in political things in Rome, you would get a slave to basically do the day-to-day stuff with your kid. The slave was in charge to educate your child. The slave was in charge to feed the child, put the child down for the nap, all of that. That is what the word is here in the Greek. So it was a child trainer. It was a live-in nanny, so to speak. It says the law was our nanny leading us to Christ so that we would be justified by faith. Now that faith has come, we no longer need a nanny. And it says that the law was our nanny. So now that faith has come, we no longer need the law. Let's go on. Now. So right now, everybody say now. Now, all of you who are in Christ, all of you are sons and daughters of God through faith in Jesus Christ. All of you who were immersed, and then that word is where we get our word baptized from, all of you who were immersed into Christ have put on Christ. So it's not that you were just immersed into Christ, you put him on. The Bible talks about put on love. When we, in Ephesians chapter 6, it talks about the full armor of God. You know, put on the belt of truth. Put on the breastplate of righteousness. This talks about how we put on, like we're putting on a garment, like we're putting on our clothes. Put on. If you have been immersed in Jesus Christ, put on Christ. Therefore, the reality is there is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for we are all one in Christ Jesus. Now, that's in your spirit. Obviously, we got some weird stuff going on today where, you know, we don't know what a male is, we don't know what a female is, and then you can be something that's maybe not a male or a female. It's all nonsense. In the flesh, God made them male and female, okay? The fact that we have all of these under genders, let's not get confused, the devil's behind everything. That's a slap in the face to the word of God and to God himself to say that there is more than just male and female. It's also a slap in the face to the Lord to say, well, I may have male parts, but I was really born a female. It's all nonsense. It's confusion. And confusion comes from who? The devil, Satan, the enemy. So when it says putting on Christ, we were immersed into Christ, this is talking about in the spirit, which again is the greater reality. This is a secondary reality because all of this will end one day. And it will be, the Bible prophesies in 2 Peter that this, all the elements on the earth will be melted with fervent heat. One day this will all end. One day this reality will all end. But the spirit reality will remain forever because it always has been. Does everyone understand this? Okay, so that's why it's the greater reality. The greater reality is we are one in Christ. The secondary reality is we are male and female. The secondary reality is, you know, some of us are taller, some of us are shorter, some of us have different backgrounds, Jew or Greek. You know, we all have different heritages. That's all in the flesh. This is talking about the true reality. Therefore, the reality is that we are one in Christ. And he says, if you belong to Christ, then you're Abraham's descendants, heirs according to the promise. In the spirit, we are all descendants of Abraham. Abraham was given the blessing. Therefore, we have the blessing because we were grafted in. And now because you are a son and daughter of the Most High God, you are automatically blessed. We have to stop agreeing with deception. We have to stop agreeing with confusion. We think because all of these things in the natural are happening around us, somehow we, in doubt and unbelief, take that and start to apply different things. Oh, all these things are happening to me. I must be cursed. Or all of these things are happening to me. I must be out of the favor of God. All of these things are attacking me and happening to me. And are happening to me. Something must be off in the spirit. Brothers and sisters, Jesus Christ himself said, in this life you will have trouble. Being a Christian does not mean you get a trouble-free life. In fact, Jesus promises that if you are living to Christ to the fullest degree, you should be experiencing, maybe not to the degree that other countries are experiencing it, but you should be experiencing persecution on some level. Whether if you're in school and people make fun of you because you're a Jesus person, or you're at your job and they call you the Jesus freak, whatever it is, you should be, if your light is shining bright, you should be experiencing some kind of persecution. But what I'm saying is that no matter what's going on around you, your status as a son or daughter doesn't change. Your blessing status does not change. You know, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 says that you have been blessed, past tense, with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So if the blessing is in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, and you are in Christ Jesus, then you're in the blessing. Your blessing is not determined about your circumstances around you. If we would start embracing this reality as the greater reality, that's what I'm talking about, getting free of things. If you are not free of things, and it could be anything. It could be maybe, you know, addiction. Maybe it's, you know, anger, maybe it's jealousy. I mean, just run the gamut of all of these things of going, why does it seem like I'm free of all of these other things, but not this area? I would go into that area and ask yourself, have you put yourself unknowingly under law in that area? Are you like, oh, I shouldn't be jealous, but I just feel jealousy. No. You go back to the identity of who you are. I don't get jealous because why would I want anything in this world? So if you are not free in an area, it's probably because you're deceived about something. If you get jealous and want what other people have, you don't know who you are in Christ because everything in this world is going to pass away. The things of this world don't matter. That's just one example. And like I said, you could go through a lot of them, but I believe because we put ourselves under law and we're like, I shouldn't do this, but why do I do this? We're missing the point. It's know who you are in Christ. It's going, why do I get angry about this? Or why am I selfish in this area? Instead of going, no, because if you are a son and daughter of the Most High God, why do you need to be selfish? You are going to inherit heaven itself. And I know you're like, yeah, but I can't see heaven, but I can see this thing that I want or that I want to be selfish about it. I get it. That's why it's called spiritual warfare. The battle is in your mind. This whole life is not about being attacked by demons and devils and people, you know, having seances and putting curses about you. The devil's defeated. The true battle is here, and every time that you get attacked, it's because the devil or some kind of influence is trying to lie to you about who you are, trying to lie to you about what you have, trying to lie to you and say, this reality is greater than that reality, and that's what keeps you from not being free. All right, let's go on. Okay, I did not have enough time. I mean, I had enough time during the week, but I don't have enough time now to go through 11 verses in Corinthians. So these are the key takeaways, okay? Again, these are, you know, if you want to take a picture of it, you can, but if you have the app, this is all listed in your notes. So the key takeaways from 2 Corinthians 3, 6 through 17, we are servants of a new covenant. If you are servants of a new covenant, can you be servants of an old covenant? No. So if you are serving the new covenant, which is faith in Jesus Christ for salvation, then there's no reason for you to serve the law. Another key statement, not the letter, talking about the law, but the Spirit. You cannot have and operate and function in the Holy Spirit if you're trying to keep the law. Because the Bible says that the Spirit is on the opposite end of the law. It's either the law or it's the Spirit. The letter kills, but the Spirit imparts life. Again, talking about two things being contrary to one another. The law imparts death. In fact, it's called the ministry of death. The letter kills, but the Spirit imparts life. The ministry of death is the law. The ministry of life is the Spirit. The law is also called the ministry of condemnation. The Spirit is called the ministry of righteousness. Do you see what I mean about how the devil, whether you know it or not, is using the law? Anybody ever in their entire life, even if it's for a moment, ever feel condemned? The Bible says that the law is the ministry of condemnation. And so if Satan comes along and he's called the accuser of the brethren, he will use the law to condemn you. That's why if you feel condemned about something, I'm not talking about having a repentance of going, hey, I'm a child of the Most High God. I need to go this direction and not that direction. That's repentance. But I'm talking about if you feel condemned about something, it is not the Holy Spirit, because the ministry of condemnation is the law. The ministry of righteousness is the Holy Spirit. So, yeah, you can clap that one up. So when you are maybe stuck in a place, if you hear condemnation, it's the enemy. If you hear, beloved, child of God, I see you in your pain. I'm reminding you of who you are in Christ. That is the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And I believe most Christians are hearing the accuser of the brethren using the law, and we call it, well, I'm being convicted of sin. The Holy Spirit is always going to minister to you the righteousness of God, who you are in Christ. We need to stop listening to the enemy. That's what keeps us in a spin cycle. That's what keeps us from being free. The Lord Jesus is the Spirit. We've talked about this verse before. You know, we talk about, yes, the Holy Spirit, Spirit of truth, but it also says Jesus is the Spirit. So when we say that Jesus comes to live in us, it's his Spirit because he's in heaven. So it says the Lord Jesus is the Spirit, and wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, freedom exists. So again, if you don't have freedom in a certain area of your life, I would invite you to invite the Spirit of Christ into that area. I think if we're honest with ourselves, many of us have areas that we will let the Holy Spirit invade every area, but like these one or maybe two areas, like I'm going to hold on to this. This one's mine. We need to let the Holy Spirit invade every area of our lives. Wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, freedom exists. Okay, you needed all that context because that was all the verses up till 17, and then we get to this verse in 2 Corinthians 3:18. So all of those key takeaways we got, and now the very next verse is this. Now, again, everybody say now. We understand, I have you say now because we have to understand we are living in this right now. I'm not trying to get there in Christ. I'm not trying to arrive in Christ right now. We already have everything we need. Again, the problem is our brain gets in the way and tries to convince us that we don't have it. You already have everything you need in the Holy Spirit. You already have everything you need in Christ. This life isn't about getting more from Jesus. This life is about knowing who Jesus is. And the more you get to know him and in relationship with him, you will walk more like him in the conduct of your existence every single day. So it says, now we all, so he's talking about us, with our faces uncovered, are seeing the glory of the Lord reflecting in a mirror. As we see him as he is, we are being transformed into the exact same image. This is all in the Greek. The exact same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord the Spirit. So you understand that we're beholding Jesus in a mirror. Why does it use the term mirror? Because as you behold Jesus, you start to realize that's who you are. And that's not blasphemy. That's not saying, well, are you putting yourself on the same level as Jesus? I'm telling you, Jesus put me on the same level as him. I'm telling you that Jesus put you on the same level as him. How can I be a joint heir with my brother Jesus if somehow I'm less than him? But it wouldn't be possible if he didn't make it that way. How many times have yourself, or you've heard somebody else, or I know that I've said this, well, I'm not Jesus. No, in your flesh, you're not Jesus. In your flesh, you have sin. And it's your flesh will never be perfect. But in the Spirit, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 6:17, he who joins himself to the Lord is one spirit. 1 John 4:17, as he is, so are we in this world. And I know, again, the accuser is going to start saying, well, how dare you put yourself on the same level as Jesus? Again, you're not putting yourself on the same level as Jesus. He put you there. The Bible says we were crucified with Christ. The Bible says we died with Christ. The Bible says we were buried with Christ. The Bible says we are raised with Christ in new life. I don't know how many other places that you guys have come before here that teach on identity. I would tell you that if we just only taught on identity in Christ, that's it. Who Jesus is, that's who you are. the whole, all of Christendom, I believe, would change if we really understood that and if it was really being taught. All right, let's go on. Okay, we're back in Galatians, but now we're in Galatians 5. Now, we've been talking a lot about law and how we're not under that. Law is a curse. Law is the ministry of death. Law is the ministry of condemnation. The reason that I needed to do that is because that Jesus says that, Second Corinthians 3:18 says, the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. There's liberty. We're talking about how to get free and stay free. But I can't talk about the Spirit unless I talk about the law, because we have to understand that the Spirit is on the complete opposite end of the law. And when it comes to us making mistakes, when us falling short, the Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, how the devil keeps you in that cycle is places you under the law, or he tricks you into placing yourself under the law. Because if you place yourself under the law, then you don't understand who you are in Christ. You don't understand that you're free in Christ. You don't understand that the Spirit has set you free. So now that we know that the law is curse and ministry of death and all of these things, or it became that to us, even though it was holy, we need to understand that the new covenant is the Holy Spirit. The new covenant was brought into existence by the blood of Jesus Christ. But what was given in the old covenant was also sanctified by blood. It says that Moses went through the camp, they sprinkled everybody in the camp, and then the law, the Ten Commandments, was given. It was a physical thing that was given. In the New Testament, the blood of Jesus washes us white as snow, so that the new covenant could be given, which is the promise, the Bible says, of the Holy Spirit. So again, we emphasize the Holy Spirit here. We emphasize baptism of the Holy Spirit because that is what the new covenant is. It was ratified in Jesus' blood, but what was given in the same way that the law was given, now the Spirit is given. And how do I know that? Because we just went through all of these verses that talked about the law this, but the Spirit this. The law this, but the Spirit this. So you could say it this way. The old covenant this, but the new covenant this. The old covenant this, but the new covenant this. Is this making sense? The new covenant is the Holy Spirit. And you've got tons of Christians that are getting their sins forgiven and being washed white as snow. This is not a heaven or hell issue, but then they're living not supernatural. They're trying to eke through life, and they're struggling with the same thing that everybody is struggling with because they did not receive the new covenant Spirit. Yes, their sins were forgiven. The Spirit does not forgive your sins. Only the blood of Jesus washes you white as snow. But you need the new covenant Spirit so that we can lay hands on the sick and they will recover. So that we can preach with boldness. Peter in Acts chapter 4 said, Lord, I pray that as we preach, that you can give us more boldness. And that as we preach with boldness, that your healing hand would come alongside of us. And it says the place that they were standing was shaken. They were all filled with the Spirit, apparently again, because Peter had already been filled and John had already been filled by the Spirit, but they just got out of jail. It says that the place was shaken. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. And it says, and they began to speak the word of God with boldness. So apparently, you could be filled with the Holy Spirit more than once. So maybe some of you in here have been baptized in the Holy Spirit, but haven't given it a second thought in 3 or 4 years, and you're like, I need a fresh filling. I'm down to a pilot night. I need an inferno going on. People back there will pray for you for that. Go back there. Don't leave without having the inferno. Okay, so coming into Galatians 5:16, because we're going to talk about the things of the Spirit, and I'm going to try to wrap this up. If you live your life by the Spirit, then you will not satisfy the lust of the flesh. You know what an if-then statement is? You ever learn that in English? This is one of them. If you live your life by the Spirit, then you will not satisfy the lust of the flesh. So if you are satisfying the lust of the flesh, then the first statement is you're not living your life by the Spirit. And some of you may be thinking, well, how dare you judge me? I'm not judging you. I'm telling you what the Bible says. If you're having a flesh problem, then put Holy Spirit there and live Holy Spirit in that issue. Does that make sense? Because, I mean, think about it. If we could all perfectly walk in the Spirit 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, you wouldn't sin. Right? So when we sin, it's because in that moment, it was a failure to conduct your life in the Spirit. So what you do, because you've been forgiven by the blood of Jesus, you're like, oh man, I totally messed up there. I shouldn't have done that. I stepped out of letting the Spirit lead my life in that moment. Now I just need to get back in and keep going. It doesn't have to be like you fall on the ground. You're like, I'm a pathetic Christian. I'm so terrible. You just acknowledge that in that moment, you decided to lead your own life in that moment. And the Spirit just stepped aside. And then you're like, wait, that was all me. That's why I've said to you before that anything bad that happens, Josh was involved. Anything good that happens, it was Jesus. Right? It's the same way with you, because you can't do anything good. Any good that you do is Christ in you. We just get to take credit for all the bad things that we do. There's not a better way to humble yourself. And then just get back in. Oh, I stepped out of the Spirit. I'm going to step back in. Holy Spirit, I need your help. Guide my life. If you live your life by the Spirit, then you will not satisfy the lust of the flesh. What the flesh desires is against the Spirit. The flesh and the Spirit are completely contrary to one another. And it says, so that you will not do the things that you want to do. Now, I put in there your flesh, because some people are like, you're telling me I can never do what I want to do? I'm telling you it says that the Spirit is on the opposite end of the flesh. They are enemies. And it's so that you won't do what you want to do, talking about your flesh. If you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. That means the reversal would be true. If you choose to put yourself under the law, you are not led by the Spirit. Why? Because now you're following a bunch of rules instead of being led by your Savior. If you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The works of the flesh have been brought to light and made clear. And if you're like, they have? Yes. And we're actually going to see how clear Paul makes them. Let's go to the next one. I'm just going to go through these quickly because I'm running out of time. These are all of what the Bible calls the lust of the flesh or the works of the flesh, meaning sin. Sex outside the context of marriage between a man and a woman. Shameless behavior. This is all with the Greek translation. Holding anything in higher esteem than God. Hostility, hatred, fighting, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, disunity, opinion-based religion. Wanting someone's stuff or lifestyle, being drunk, attending sex and drinking parties, and anything resembling similar things, this is the words of Paul, will not inherit God's kingdom. Now, if you see something that you're doing that's on that list or it resembles something like that, again, you don't have to, you know, fall apart. Just repent. And say, I'm not being led by the Spirit in that thing. Apparently my flesh is guiding me in that. I'm going to now allow the Spirit to lead me in that area. So he calls these things sin, or the works of the flesh, or the lusts of the flesh. Okay, let's go on. So now he's given us what it looks like to live your life in the flesh or be led by the flesh. Now he says, this is the evidence you live your life by the Spirit. So if you're like, what's the litmus test that I'm living my life by the Spirit? He tells you, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness. That word goodness is probably more accurately translated godliness. And if you're like, well, I can be like God. Yes, Ephesians 5 verse 1 says, be imitators of God as little children. So godliness, faithfulness, humility, and self-control. There is no law against these things. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its sufferings and lusts. If we are alive because of the Spirit, meaning it's the Spirit that gives life, then we should live our lives each and every day by the Spirit. Do I have any more slides? Okay. So how to get free and stay free? Brothers and sisters, it's simple. First of all, if you haven't been baptized in the Holy Spirit, it's going to be very difficult because you're trying to overcome some kind of probably supernatural thing that's going on in your life without supernatural power. So if you have not been baptized in the Holy Spirit, we're going to have prayer ministers standing by that can do that. Well, what do I need to do? The Bible clearly says, you being evil, talking about in our fallen state, you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children. How much more the Father will give the Holy Spirit to those whom ask. So all you have to do is ask. They're going to lay hands on you. You're going to be filled with the Holy Spirit. So I would encourage you to do that, even if there's a line. If there's a line back there, I'll be standing off the side. I'll pray for you. But that's how you get free and stay free. You have to realize that it's not about rules. I was just talking to somebody just yesterday. And they were having conversations with coworkers, and they're just like, yeah, I don't want to hear any of that religious stuff. And I told this person, I say, that's like when somebody says that around me, I'm like, yeah, I hate religion too. And they just like look at me, and I'm like, but I love Jesus. Because religion is the law. Religion is, oh, now I'm in Jesus, now I got to go to church, now I got to be good, now I got to follow the Ten Commandments. That is religion. What we are in is relationship with Jesus Christ. We are led by the Spirit. We are supernatural beings that are led by our supernatural Father, our supernatural brother, and the Holy Spirit.